Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Nun Hey. As we get back into the world of Erevin after a couple of days of Shas topics, and every daf is very important, but today we have a couple of more lines what we're up to, and then we get back to Inyan Erevin of the fifth parak. But we'll start with the first wide line on Nun Dal and Mabez. Again, one scheduling note, tomorrow I'm not going to be here, so tomorrow's daf and Shabbos' daf will be put up, Bez Hashem from last cycle, it'll be there, and then Bez Hashem will pick up again on Sunday. Okay, so we were talking about the Shalshelas HaMesorah, and the Gemara quoted, and the Rambam, by the way, quotes this in his Hakdama to Pirsha Mishnayos. The Rambam has three famous Hakdamas, three important Hakdamas. Number one is Hakdama to Pirsha Mishnayos, to all of Mishnah. He has a big Hakdama where he goes through the history of Torah Shebal Peh, and why the Siddurim are in the order that they are, and why each Mesechta is in the order that it is, and he talks about Nevuah, talks about other basic tenets of our faith. Then he has the Hakdama to Pirkei Avos, also called Shemona Prakim, because it is eight Prakim. And then he has Hakdama to Chelek, Hakdama to the last parak of Maseches Sanhedrin, where he talks about all messianic discussions. He has Mashiach, he has Olam Haba, Trias HaMesin, that's where he writes the Animamin. The Animamin come from the Rambam. They're one line. The Rambam has a paragraph for each one, but it was shortened into one line. So those are the three Akdamas, and the Rambam, in his first Akdama of Tabir Shemeshnayas, he prints this Gemara. This is the first thing he quotes, because this is the source of Torah Sheval Peh. Moshe Kibbutz Rami Sinai, just a more expanded version of that, is our Gemara that we had here on Nandalan Mabez, relating to how Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah. So if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Aaron and then to his sons, the Chulu, and each person heard it four times. That's what the Gemara says. We don't even start understanding what we're learning to really appreciate it four times. Yes, we know the Gemara in Chagiga that says 101 times, but that's Chazara. This is the beginning. This is the first time you learn it. So really, it's 97 extra times. But four times is just to get a basic idea of understanding, as the Gemara says, Chayav l'shanaz l'talmido arba pamim. Four times, good. And we say it's a kal v'chomer. They were on such a level, and they needed four times, surely us. Good. Rabbi Akiva Omer, the end of the first wide line. Rabbi Akiva Omer, minayin shechayav adam l'shanaz l'talmido ad shilamdenu. How do I know that I have to be able to teach my Talmud until yilamdenu? Pashtus means that it is, he learns it and he knows it well. But another pshat, yilamdenu, could also mean on a deeper level, until he has the ability to teach it to someone else. Yilamdenu. That's the ultimate level of Havana, when I understand it and I'm able to give it over to somebody else. We medayik that in a Rashi in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, where it talks about the Igra de Pirka Riata, that whole Gemara. So Rashi there says the definition of Havana is being able to learn it to be able to give it over to somebody else. Right? Whenever we have to teach something, we always know it better. So that's a deeper level of Rabbi Kiva saying, Shneamar, but the Pashas is until you understand it, Shneamar, Valandas, Bnei Yisrael, teach Bnei Yisrael. Meaning, it's not like the Rebbe says, okay, I did my part, now it's your job to try to figure it out. No. The job of a Rebbe is not to confuse the students, is not to give an unbelievable shear that he could be proud of, and the students have no idea what it's talking about. The Talmidim have to be able to understand it. It's the Rebbe's responsibility to make it clear, and to make it a Shulchan Aruch in front of them in order to partake. Uminayin achete sdura b'fiyem, literally said, Shneemar sima b'fiyem. Uminayin shachayv laharos lopanim. How do you know? You have to show him face, literally. Laharos lopanim. What does that mean? So Rashi says laharos lopanim. Lelamdo laseis tam bedvarav. You have to explain it and give reasons. B'kol asher yuchal, as much as you can. V'lo yomar kach shamati. This is what I heard. Havein ata hatam be'atzmecha. You go figure out the reason. Yes, the Rebbe has to make the Talmud somewhat independent, but he has to try to explain as much as he can. It's his responsibility. L'haros l'opanim. Shneemar ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim l'fneihem. These are the mishpatim that you should place in front of them. Other mafarshim say l'haros l'opanim means you have to have that relationship. L'haros l'opanim means you have to have a smiley face. You can't do it with a sour face, like in a, this is my obligation. No, l'haros l'opanim. Like b'sever panim yafos. That's what we know. B'sever panim yafos. I think we mentioned a couple years ago from the Me'iri. Me'iri on Pirkei Avos. What does it mean, b'sever panim yafos? The panim yafos, with a smile. What b'sever? Sever for the word svara. Even if I'm not in the mood, even if I've had a difficult day, I didn't sleep last night, and this and that, b'sever. At least the person should think B'sever, the svara of panim yafus. Doesn't matter, like Rav Pam once said, your face is a rishus harabim. So no, you can't be mazik and rishus harabim. Somebody's having a wonderful day, I have a sour face, I affect the other person. My face, I can't be mazik and rishus harabim. So that's why, savor panim yafus, no matter what mood I'm in. But I have to make sure that the other person feels that I am giving him panim yafus. Good. V'ligmru kulhu mi Moshe. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to teach it and then leave, and then Aaron teaches it and then leave, and why? V'ligmru kulhu mi Moshe. Kedei lachlok kavod la'aron ubanav v'kavod l'zakenim. To give everybody else kavod. That's the answer. Why? So that Moshe Rabbeinu steps to the side and he gives them kavod. V'neyo Aaron, v'nigmar mi Moshe, v'la'aylu banav, v'ligmru mi Aaron, v'la'aylu zakenim, v'lofa mi banav, v'leza v'ligmruna l'kulu Yisrael. Right? Why can't there, why does that have to be an overlap? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to teach it, then Aaron comes in, Aaron stays there, and then Moshe teaches it again, v'chulu? Why can't Aaron just teach it the second time? Why does Moshe have to teach it to all? So the Gemara says, kiva de Moshe mi pi agvura gamar mistayim ilse. It's appropriate that the source of it all, you know, everybody touches the source of it all. So Moshe Rabbeinu teaches everybody once, at least everybody has that connection. Interesting, another idea might be behind this Gemara, that is, the Talmidim have the same Torah taught from different sources, because there's always a little different way that Rebbeim express, you know, the same ideas. Even though we had down in the previous Amud Aleph, Tosfos discussed that, you know, maybe on the two daf ago on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, that, you know, you have to have one Rebbe in order to teach you this, and a different Rebbe to teach you that. But sometimes it's good to hear a different perspective from a different Rav in order to have a different appreciation. And therefore, also, it might be behind the idea of Moshe. Obviously, Moshe Emes is Sarasa Emes. You can't argue on Moshe Rabbeinu. You hear it from the source, and then you get it from the Talmid. Good. Amar Mar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, La'olam, Aaron li'yamin Moshe, Chozer. Yamin Moshe Chozer. Aaron goes to sit to Moshe's right. That's where he went. That's where Rabbi Yehuda held. Kaman Azlo Hadatanya. Who is the author of the following brisa? Shlosha Shoyim Alchad Baderech. Three people are walking on the way. Harav Be'emsa V'Gadol B'Yamino V'Katan B'Smolo. Always three people. Right? A Rav, a Kasha Prez always will go to two people. One of them has to go to the bathroom. The Rav is now left by himself. So the Gadol is to his right and the Katan is to his left. Lame Rabbi Yehuda Yivlo Rabbanon. So that brisa seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda, because he's the one that says that Aaron goes to the right. See where else this is quoted? Yuma Lamed Zayin. It's talking about the Kohen Gadol, who stands to the Kohen Gadol's right, to the left, the Skan, the Abezdin. So is this only according to Rabbi Yehuda? So where is it? No, afilu temer abanan, mishum tircha de Aaron. No, the point is we just don't want to make Aaron be matriach. Why? Because originally when it's only Moshe and Aaron in the room, Aaron has to go to the left. He has to go to the left side, Rashi explains. So then when someone else comes in, what, he's going to switch to the right? He's already on the left. There's only one person with a Rav, he goes to the left. So now he's going to go to the right, so we don't want Aaron to be Tareach. So therefore, we allow him to stay where he is. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu, though, as we know, Moshe Emes Zarasso Emes, Moshe is the source of it all, and everybody hears it from Moshe Rabbeinu. I think we also have mentioned a long time ago, but a fascinating discussion. There was a sefer that came out, 100 years ago or so, the Seder Hadoros. And it goes through the Tanaim, Amarayim, Rishonim, Achronim, and the genre of sefer that it is, as some are, that they say, this machlokes, the Tanaim, is really the machlokes of Yehi Shalom Midas. This machlokes in the Torah is Yehi Shalom Midas, Yehi Shalom Midas. Right? They put later machlokos in earlier discussions. So there, part of the story that's quoted, when they quote Rabbi Leomi Paris and Rabbeinu Tam and a couple of the Rishonim, they also, in the Sefer also shows and discusses some of the Machlokos. Now, it doesn't just describe the biography of these rabbis, but it goes through some of their shitos. So the Machlokos there is quoted, Rabbi Leomi Paris. Forgot to check it up again. But one of the Balei Atos was quoted in Erevin and elsewhere, that they hold they have to tie your tefillin every day. Ukshartam la'osla yadecha doesn't just mean what we have. Our knots are permanent. We just wrap it on our arm. But there was some Baali Tosfos that say, no, you have to tie the knot every day and then put it on. Ukshartam la'osla yadecha. Not just the kshira on your arm, but to tie it every day. We don't paskin that way. Right, Rabbi Natam, right? We don't paskin that way. So it's a whole machlokas. So there, the machlokas is quoted as they went up to Moshe Rabbeinu, And Moshe Rabbeinu Tam went up to Moshe Rabbeinu and asked, what do you think about this machlokas? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what? I think the other opinion's right. I think you have to tie your tefillin every day. And Rabbeinu Tam stands up and starts, in the Sefer it's recorded, starts screaming at Moshe Rabbeinu, how can you say that? You are wrong, he says. The Torah that you gave us on our Sinai proves that you only, you know, put it on your arm every day. You don't tie it every day. And it goes through this whole discussion. Wonderful. That's one part of the Sefer. When this author was going around to try to get Haskamas for his Sefer, he came to Reb Chaim, and wanted Haskamas for Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim read it, and Reb Chaim says, your Sefer's wonderful, but this page is Apikarsus. Hey, that because this, you can't argue on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes Vesaraso Emes. There's nothing to talk about. So he says, okay, I'll take out that Sefer. So Rav Shechter told the story that in that my version doesn't have this note on the front, but Rav Shechter tells the story that he got back to his place, but it was already at the publisher. So he couldn't take out that line, so he could just add in a front page. So in the front page, he gives the Haskama to Reb Chaim, but he says, accept this page. Reb Chaim thinks it's Apikarsus. So that's what the story goes. But either way, that's Moshe Emes. Moshe is the source of Torah Shebal Peh. That's our Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu is the source. He tells it all. Okay, we are up to Rebbe Preda. The most famous story about Rebbe Preda in all of Shas, right here. Rebbe Preda, this story made him famous. Havi Le'ahu Talmida. He had a student. Davitani Le'arba Me'ah Zimni V'gomar. There was a student that he had to teach 400 times. And only then he learned. So you might say that 400 is always an exaggeration. We find throughout Shas the number 400. Rav Huna's 400 barrels of wine turned to vinegar. 400 this, 400 that. But it sounds pretty literal from the continuation of the story, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved and he keeps using the number 400. But either way, it's a lot. Maybe it's connected to the five lines ago. You have to learn it four times to really know it. This is this is 400. Could be. Anyway, so he taught him 400 times because it was a student that obviously had some learning issues. Yom Echad, Bayu L'Milsa de Mitzvah. One day, Rabbi Preda had a mitzvah to run after. Right after Shir, he had to run out. So he told his Talmidim, you know, I'm sorry, I can't stay after Shir. I'm going to have to run out right afterwards. So you have to forgive me. Tana Levelo Gamar. He started teaching the Shir, and he sees, even for this student, it's a slow day. It's a tough day. So Amar Lei, Ha'idna Maishno, he says, well, you didn't eat breakfast this morning. I don't understand. What's the problem? What? Seems like today you're even having more difficulty than you normally have. Amar Lei, Me'ahi Shaita, the Amar Lei Lamar, Ika Milsa de Mitzvah. From the moment that you said you're going to have to leave right after Shir, Aschoilu Daitoi, I'm having Hesach Hadas. You know, I'm nervous. Because Shaita, every moment, Amina, I say to myself, Hashtakoyimar, he's going to leave and I'm not going to be able to ask him a question. And I'm nervous about it. So I'm not calm to be able to understand properly the Torah that you're teaching me. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Preda turns to him and says, Hav Daitech, relax. Relax, I'm not going to leave until you understand it. If I miss the chuppah, I'll miss the chuppah. Right, Hav Daitech, V'asni Lech, Hadr Tana Lei Mdalen Me'a Zimna Achrini. Teaches it another 400 times. 800 times, Rabbi Preda teaches him. Unbelievable. Right, so this story, even before we finish, the story is usually mentioned as the godless of the Rebbe, which is the emphasis of this story. Unbelievable patience, right? Law Kaptan Malamed, unbelievable patience. But one also has to point out the godless of the Talmud. You know, how many times do we learn something and we can't understand it? Okay, I want to understand this Tosfos. Okay, let's go to the next one. We just give up, so it's not to be, okay, it's 2,711 blocks, so I didn't get this one so well. Right, okay, let's do the next one. No, so he didn't have that attitude, this Talmud. I want to understand this. And he was upset. That's the godless of the Talmud also, not just the godless of the Rebbe. So Nafka Baskola V'Amarle, a Baskol goes out and says, Nichalech delisvu lecha dalad mea shani o detisku at vidarech la'amadasi. So the Baskol goes out and says, would you like to have 400 more years added onto your life? Or would you like to have all of your generation on your coattails get into Olam Haba? And that's the bas kol. If you teach somebody 400 times with that patience, you're zocha to a bas kol. Omar, dinizku ana v'dari la'am v'da'asi. As you would have guessed, he says, I'd rather get Olam Haba for my whole generation. That's the kind of person that he was. Omar len HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in. No, more than a bas kol. Tenu lo zu bazu. Give him both. Give him both. He chose the right choice, and he gets an extra 400 years, and he gets Olam Haba for his entire generation. I saw B'Shem Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. No, you would think, that, yes, the patience of the Rebbe, but isn't he sacrificing from his own learning? His own learning. Imagine the bittul zman, that he can't do his own learning. He's busy with his one Talmud over and over and over again. Says of Chaim Shmulevitz, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't think that way. He gave him 400 more years. He didn't think that he was wasting, he was losing time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you do that, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. It's not, even though it says in Tainus, when we Talmidei Yosef Mikulam, I don't know if this was included. This might just be another. And he was working on himself, the midah of patience, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says. But you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of those who take care of his own. And therefore, Rabbi Preda was zochet to what he was zochet to. Good. That's the end of the story. Again, this the Gemara that we've had already a number of times, is the emphasis that Havana is a tremendous, you know, element of learning. Right? We have, you have to make it stir b'fien until she'ilam denu. There is a Shulchan Aruch HaRav, where he mentions that Torah she'bal peh, the ikar is the Havana. If I learn Torah she'bal peh without understanding at all, then it's not really worth as much as there is with understanding. Torah she'bichsav, even without understanding. Especially, I think he said Tehillim. You know, I don't understand Tehillim. Just saying Tehillim, the magic of the Tehillim, that itself is has unbelievable effects in Shamayim. Torah she'bal peh has more of a focus on Havana. And that's what all these Gemaras are about. Okay, we continue. Amar Rav Chisda, a few more lines of Agadata. Again, a couple more famous lines as well. Amar Rav Chisda, Ein Torah Niknes Ela B'Simanim. Torah is acquired through Simanim. What are Simanim? Rashi says, second to last Rashi on the Amud, Simane Hashmuos Zuacharzu. This Simanim, like we have in the Gemara, and we have these words, basically mnemonics and ways to remember Gemaras. Right, simanim, shriks. We all have different ways to try to remember where Gemaras are and what Gemaras said. That's the way to learn, to be collate and to remember. V'simani chachamim, kederach sheyesh ba'ashas. Like there are in Shas, they were there already in the times of Rashi. U'mesim girsa, v'simani b'fiyem. That's how the Amoraim remembered Gemaras. So, nicknames with simanim. Shene'emar, sima b'fiyem. Al tikre sima ela simana. Right, so play on letters. Simanim, the importance of having strategies in order to remember. The Archa Sadikim, many sources, but I'll just call you the Archa Sadikim in the end, the anonymous work of the Achron, the Baal Musar. He quotes there the importance in the Shara Torah, all the way at the end of the Sefer, the importance of Simanim and the importance of trying to remember one's learning. As we've said, we all forget in our own level, but as much as we could work, as hard as we could try, in order to remember, that's what we have to, that reflects love. If I love it, then I'm going to try to remember it, you know, as much as I can. I was once in a car with a father of one of the great gedolim of our time. I had the schuss, and he told me, he says, "You think my son, you know, remembers everything in life?" He says, "Nah, he'll read a newspaper, he won't remember it. He'll do this." He says, "He doesn't forget anything in learning because he loves it so much. He says, everything he learns, he doesn't forget. He says other things he'll forget." So it's all a function of our love. If we love something so much, so then it'll be meaningful, and we'll want to remember it. Says the Archa Tzadikim, V'tzarech halomed liozariz v'zahir lilmod, ki meleches ha-Torah ein adoma l'shar malachas. Because Torah is not like other malachas. Why? Ki halomed shar malachas, ashe afilu yiftal mimena kamashanim lo yishkachena. If I learn another, you know, trade, if I learn another game, whatever it is, once I learn something, it stays with me. It'll take me very quickly to, I don't know, let's say somebody goes bowling. It doesn't go bowling for 10 years. After they go bowling once after 10 years, it kind of, you remember the skill. You remember it after going once. You better do so well, but it'll come back. If somebody doesn't learn for 10 years, chas v'shalom, if somebody doesn't learn for a day, avol kishalom mitor v'ino choser, if I don't continue it, so then the skills go down and down. And I forget. And it makes sense. Why? During other malachos, once you know how to do it, you don't really have to think so much while you're doing it. It's automatic. Right? It just flows. Thinking about whatever you want. Ki kol pam v'pam. So if libo l'chavin shmuaso. When I'm learning, I need to focus. V'lo lachshu v'shum davar acher ki im b'shmuaso. V'lachain, therefore, shichacha is prevalent, and I have to focus if I want to remember it. It's not easy. It's not easy. We're in the Luchoshnios world, as we mentioned yesterday. So forgetting is natural, but we have to do our best. And if we can have simanim, different ways to remember, what daf is it on, and this, that, right? We have to try to do our best. Okay. Weiter. Shama, 4 lines from the bottom. Shama, Rav Tachlifa Mimarava, Rav Tachlifa from Eretz Yisrael, heard this statement of Rav Chisda, who was from Bavel. Azal Amar Kami Derebi Avahu, Amar Atuan Mehasam Asti Sula, you learn this idea of Simanim from that pasuk. Anan Mehacham Asti Nala, we learn it from the following pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, set up markers. Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, Simila, place for you. Asu Tziyunim Atorah, make markers for the Torah. Make tziyunim, right? Same idea. Umay masha dai tziyun lishad the simanahu. How do you know tziyun is a lashon of simin? Tichsiv, as it says, v'ra'a etzem adam, and you will see the bone of a person. Uvana etzel tziyun. You see a bone, you don't want the kohanim to go there. So put a tziyun there. Tziyun is a marker so that the kohanim don't go there and become tamei. Let's just finish this, and then we'll comment on that pasuk. Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Elazar, Amar Mehacha, third pasuk. Emor lechachma, Achosiat, say to wisdom, you are my sister. Umoda lebina tikra, and tabina to understanding. Call moda a relative, meaning asay mudaim la Torah. Make mudaim, like to make it modia, to make it known to you. Do things to make Torah known to you, meaning simanim and tricks and strategies in order to be able to be collate and absorb the Torah. Good. So the three different psukim relating to putting up reminders. Hatzivi lach tziyun in this pasuk is used by the Ramban in a very different context. Remember the Ramban on 2 weeks ago's parsha, the Ramban in Achremos. The Ramban there discusses at the end of Achremos on the pasuk that the land will vomit out all sinners, Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban has he discusses this many places in his commentary on Chumash. This is the most elaborate, where he discusses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created forces, malachim, sarim, to watch over, so to speak, all other lands in the world. Doesn't mean chas v'shalom that one is allowed to worship them. That's avodah zara. But the Ramban says there is indirect hashgacha in every land in the world. And Rome has their sar, and America has their sar, and Australia has their sar, and every place in the world has their sar, meaning indirect hashgacha. Hashem Echbad Bara Hakol V'Sam Kolach HaTachtonim Ve'Olyonim V'Nosan Al Kol Am Va'Am Ba'Artzo Sam L'Goyehem Kochav U'Mazal Yadua. Like we know, Sarah Shal Esav and Sarah Shal Yavan V'Chulu. Except Eretz Yisrael. There's no Sar. Direct Hashgacha. Why does existence not make sense in this country? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge. It's Me'al HaTeva. Me'al HaTeva. How could it be a country here surrounded by billions of people who don't want the country here. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge. It's Me'al HaTeva. Many people, doesn't make sense how they make ends meet. Me'al HaTeva. Eretz Yisrael, Emsoz HaYisha B'Nachlas Hashem Yechadz HaShmo, Lo Nasan Aleha Min HaMalachim Katzin Shoter Moshel. There's no Emsa'i. Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Chvodu V'Atzmo. Eni Hashem Alkecha. But Tamen Me'reishas Hashana Nachrishana. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in charge. So at the end of that piece, he has the radical formulation, but it's based on a medrash. It's based on a medrash. Some say that, the Vilna Gaon says it can't be that he really said this. It must be a change in girsa. But the medrash is in Rashi, it's in the Ramban, it's in many sources. So it's difficult to say that it is not a authoritative medrash. What does the Sifri say? Vavata Mehera, based on the pasuk in Shema, Afa pish ani megale etchem me'ina'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. Even though I'm going to send you into Galus, and you're going to be in places without direct hashgacha, still, heyu mitzuyanin b'mitzvos. Still, keep doing mitzvos, even when you're in Galus. Shekishetachzeru lo yiu aleichem chadashim. So that when you come back, they're not new to you. This is the Ramban's well-known formulation, that mitzvos in chutz la'aretz, I wouldn't say practice, but there's an element lacking. Even mitzvahs that are not talui ba'aretz. Or Ryan Lichtenstein quotes that he one time picked up Rav Huttner from the airport here in Eretz Yisrael, and he picked him up, and Rav Huttner says, "Please take me to the nearest shul. You know, I want to go put on tefillin." He says, "Rebbe, you davened on the plane already." He says, "That was chutz la'aretz tefillin. Now I want to put on Eretz Yisrael tefillin." That was Rav Huttner. He knew this Ramban. Says the Rabban, continuing, Mashal la'adon, shakaz alishto, similar to a master that gets upset at his wife, v'shilcha la'beis aviyah, sends her out, Amar Allah, he says, you know what, put on makeup while you're at, when your father's house. Please put on, because when we meet again together, so you should still look nice. Right, we should remember our, shakatesh dachzer, ilo yelacha kachadashim, v'chein amay yirmiyahu, this is why I'm quoting it here, hatzivi lach ziyunim, put markers, put up signs. So you don't forget, those are the mitzvahs that you have to keep doing. Elu a mitzvah she Yisrael mitzuyana bohem. Obviously, halachically, this doesn't affect the mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz. We have to do them, but we have to realize everything in Chutz La'aretz is missing an element. It's a Ramban. And he said, the examples given, this is in Shema, Levata Mehera. What are the mitzvahs that are in the context? Eino mechayev galos elo b'chovetz aguf kitfilin u'mezuzis. This was the gra. The gra said it must have been a tos of the publisher. It must have said tough vav mem, and they thought it meant tefillin and mezuzah, but really it meant shumas or maestros. That's what it must have meant, but it doesn't sound that way from the context of the medrash at all. It's shema. We're not talking about shumas or maestros. The Ramban quotes it. Rashi quotes it. Okay. Anyway, but this is the Ramban on hatzivi lach tziyun. Okay. Rava Amar. Next, once we're talking about this pasuk of Moda, we have another drasha on it. Asay mo'adim la'Torah. Make mo'adim, times, for the Torah. What does that mean? Last Rashi. Rashi has a different gersa. Asu mo'ed la'Torah. Kiv'u itim la'talmidchem, sheyedu eslava v'lashanos. Be kaveya time for your talmidim. That you should have hours. You should make sure you should be a kaveya time, meaning they should shouldn't be scared. They should always have time to be able to come and approach the Rebbe. Interesting, Rashi has the singular, asu mo'ed. We have mo'adim, right? It makes us think of the comment that I think the Sifsei Chachamim on Brachas makes. Isn't it interesting that all the Sedarim are in the plural except for one? Zra'im, Kachim, Nashim, Taris, Nezikin, Mo'ed. Right, one of these is not parallel. Why isn't it mo'adim? And the other one should be singular then also. Nezek, Kodesh. There's only one that's it. Moed. Why? So you can see two opposite answers. Either one can say, and this counts that I'm on today's daf already, because we finished it. Right? So either Moed is singular to emphasize that all the Moedim are really one theme. It's all about Lifnei Hashem. It's all about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or you can say the opposite. They each have their own unique theme. And that's why it's singular. Each and every, either way, you can say two opposite different suggestions, but the ha'ara is amazing that we don't always remember to realize. You have to say something. Why is that called moed and the others are called in the plural? Good, so make moedim la'Torah. It also might just mean kove'itim. V'hainu da'amar, and this is exactly, what's this? Rashi says on top, this that we said, they have to be mamid simanim, and to try your best, and figure out tachbulos, and strategies, and work hard, in order to be kona Torah. It's exactly what is explained here. V'hainu da'amar of Avdimi Barchama Bardosa, mai dechsev lo bashamayim hi. What does it mean at the end of the Torah? It is not in heaven. V'lo me'ever layam hi, and it's not on the other side of the yam, lo bashamayim lo me'ever layam hi, lo bashamayim hi, shim bashamayim hi, because if it would be in shamayim, at the tzarech la'alos achareha, it's not in shamayim. Mashma, that if it would be in shamayim, we'd have to get it there too. Hashem is just telling us, you know what, it's not in shamayim, so it's not so hard. V'im me'ever layam hi, at the tzarech la'avar achareha, and if it's me'ever layam, you'd have to go travel to the over the seven seas also to get there. So, says the Gemara, but it's not, and therefore you have to try your best to do it. But what do you see from that Chazal? That you got to work very hard. If it would have been there, you would have had to get there too. That's what Rashi's connection is, that just like you have to work hard to make Siman and to try to be Kona, so too you have to work hard in order to be Kona the Torah. Good. There is a machlokas Rashi and Rabban on these psukim. Ki a mitzvah azos, right, the end of the Torah. Lo bashamayim, lo me'ev layami. Which mitzvah is that referring to? Ki a mitzvah azos. So there's a difference between the simple understanding of the Gemara and the simple understanding of the Psukim. The simple understanding of the Gemara here is what? Talmud Torah. That's what we're talking about. It's the whole context of the Gemara. It's Talmud Torah. But if you look at the Psukim, and that's what Rashi says. Rashi ala Torah quotes this Gemara. But if you look at the Psukim, it doesn't sound like it. Ki ha mitzvah zo, says the Rabban, is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. Lo bashamayim mi lo mevelek ki karvi lach adar mo b'fichu vavcha lasoso. The passage we quoted yesterday. So the Rambam machlokas, Rashi and Rabban, what is that referring to? You can say it's not a machlokas. Rashi is based on Chazal, and the Rabban is saying the pshuto shel mikra. It's not a machlokas. They're just quoting different ideas. But this is the Gemara. Let's continue. Rava Amar, Lo Bashamayimi, another drasa. Lo Bashamayimi, what does it mean, not in heavens? Lo Timsa B'misha Magbia Daito Aleka Shamayim. It's not in those who hold themselves as high as heaven. Right? People who hold themselves up. It's not Torah's not found there. Velo Timsa B'misha Marchiv Daito Aleka Kayam. Or somebody who feels themselves as wide as the sea. Right, somebody haughty. Torah does not stay with somebody haughty. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Lo Bashamayimi, Lo Betimsa Bagasei Ruach. Similar. Somebody who's haughty. Velo Mevel Hayami, Lo Timsa, Lo Besachranim, Velo Betagarim. They're not over the sea. Somebody who's constantly going on business trips and is not able to be Koveya Eaton properly. So, that also. Right, this was the line of the Gemara that the Chacham Sadam quoted yesterday in his Hakdama. People think that because of this Gemara, I couldn't write the Sefer. But you should know, I was always learning V'chulu V'chulu. Okay. Period. The action for this daf is, I mean, there's more action coming up, but this obviously was the action. Just one other ha'ara, and then we'll continue. We know that this line of Lo Bashamayim Hi is quoted in the Gemara in Bamitzia, Daf Nun Tes, Tanur Shalachnai, where all the rabbis were against Rav Elazar about a certain type of oven, is it Tameh, is it Tar, and Lo Bashamayim Hi was quoted. What is the message of Lo Bashamayim Hi in that context, and how it's normally quoted? That the Rabbanan are the ones that win when there's a machlokas, let's say, between Shamayim and Aretz. Even though a baskel might go out and say, Tahar, if the rabbis decided Tameh, that's the emes. This is what we discussed back on Daf Yud Gimel. Elu ve'elu debri elukim chayim. What does Rav Moshe Feinstein write in Akdamah to Igris Moshe? There are two types of emes. There's emes la'amita and emes la'hora'a. Emes la'amita, Hashem knows ultimately what's emes. We have to try to get there. But if I go through the proper channels, and I sweat, and I go through Shas and Poskim, and I have Yerut Shemayim, and Kovid Rosh, and I come up with a psak, says Rav Moshe, I might be wrong, Klapei Shemaya, but it's not objectively wrong, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu created different levels of emes, and the reality is created by the Rabbanan. If we say Tameh, then that's what the halacha is. That's what the reality is. I heard over Pesach, I was away for a couple of days, I heard a certain Rav say an unbelievable pshat in the Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara in Yevamos. This is the Dafyomi Gemara. Why is the Dafyomi? This is the source for Dafyomi. Where is the source for Dafyomi? At the end of the Yevamos, Kufchaf Aleph. So the Gemara has there the halacha, as we know, of Aguna. Aguna, Rachmana Loslan, if a husband is lost at sea, so what is the halacha? The halacha is, well, it depends. If it's mayim sheyesh lohem sof, if it's water that has an end to it, there's a enclosed area of water. So mayim sheyesh lohem sof, so then the woman is allowed to get remarried, because why? Pashas, you assume that if the husband was alive, you would have come up on the other side and you would know about it. But mayim sheyein lohem sof, what is ein lohem sof? That is infinite, it's the ocean, there's no end. So then the woman is not allowed to get remarried because maybe the husband is somewhere and you just don't know. So if you think about it, doesn't it make sense just the opposite? Ma'im she'ein lohem sof, he's definitely dead. Where else did he go? He should be able to get remarried there. How could the Chachamim say, Ma'im she'ein lohem sof, this is right, the Gemara right here, on the Mishnah, Kuf Chof Alav Aman Alav. Ma'im she'ein lohem sof, he quotes, Ma'im, novel of Ma'im, Ben she'ein lohem sof, he's she'ein lohem sof, right, he quotes, right, we pass that chilek, right? She'ein lohem sof, ein lohem sof. So if it's ein lohem sof, shouldn't you allow the woman to get remarried? No, we think this far-fetched case. Okay, that's the halacha. But then there's a story quoted. Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, one time I was on a boat. For Isi Svina Acha Shinishra, I saw next to me, Rachman al-Islan, there was a boat that capsized, and it was broken. And I saw, that was Rabbi Akiva's boat. And the whole way back to shore, Rabbi Gamliel says, I was crying. Rabbi Akiva, he must have died. Ayvei. And when I went up to the dry land, Baba Yashav, I went, and all of a sudden, he was giving shir. I'm like, what happened? He says, Daf shel Svinon is daming li. I found a board of my boat, I hung on as tight as I could, and every wave that came, I just held on to the daf. Right, that's why this is quoted, as the daf. This is the daf saves us from drowning in life. But then he said, and then when Rabbi Gamliel hears that, why am I quoting this for the next line? He says, Kama gedolim divrei chachamim. How great are the words of the rabbis who said, Mayim sheyesh lahem sof muteres, mayim sheein lahem sof asura. What's the pashas of the Gemara? Wow! It's amazing that you survived. It's amazing. So, you know, the rabbis are right. It must be that even if there's very little chance, you have to be worried that the husband's there. So this Rav said, no, different shot. How great are the rabbis? You know how Rabbi Akiva was able to survive? Because the Rabbanan declared, Mayim she'ein lohem sof, Asura Labaila, that creates a reality that husbands could exist. And husbands won't die all the time if it's Mayim She'en Lahem Sof. The fact that they said that's the halacha creates the reality that people, husbands could survive. Hakama Gdolim Divrei Chachamim, that they said Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, the Asur Li Naseh, Rabbi Kiva, that's how you survived. It was Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, and you were able to live. It's because the Rabbanan created that reality. We find many other examples of the Rabbanan, but that's Lo Bashamayim, that the Rabbanan create that reality. Okay, back to Maseches Eruvin. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzen Ma'aber Nesa'arim. As the Mishnah started off in our parak, how do you Ma'aber cities when you measure the Tchum? 2,000 Amos from outside the city, but we mentioned that you measure from the edge of the city. So if something's sticking out of the city, you measure from outside that extra house, that extra tower, that extra churva. And we mentioned it is always right angles. So wherever that point of outside is, you draw a box from there, right angles. So, Kin Abadis Arm, Arucha Kamoshahi. If it is long, as is. We'll have to see what that means. Agula osan lazavios. If it's circle, you draw a square around it. Mirubaas ain't osan lazavios. But if it's already squared, you don't have to give it extra corners. Okay, great. What is that? What's the chiddush? We'll see soon. Haisa rachava misad echa beksar misad acher. If it's shaped like a triangle, roan osaki ilu hishave. So you square it off, right? You make it square. You go out from the edges. Haya, like the picture in Rashi. Haya bayis echad yotze. If there's one house that's sticking out of the city, kamin pagum pigum, like an extra tower, o shnei batim yotzin, kamin shnei pagumin, or two houses sticking out of the rest of the line of the city, ro and osan kiluchud matu chalehen. You already, if you have two houses sticking out, so you draw an imaginary line between them and you square it. That's the general rule in all these cases. Umodein mimenu lalon alpayim amma, and you measure 2,000 amos from that line. Haisa suya kamin keshes. If the city is a semicircle, a rainbow, o kamin gam, or shaped like an L, ro and osa kilu himalaya batim v'chatzeros. So again, you square it off. You close in the open area of the bow. Or if it is an L, you make it into a square, right? You make it equal. Umodini menor halona paim ama. Remember, this is all durabanan. How do you measure the 2,000 amos according to Rov Rishonim against Rabbi Akiva? And therefore, you're allowed. This is what they said. This is how you measure. So now we'll talk about the lines that were not fully clear. Amar mar aruka kamoshihi. If it's long, as is. Pshita. What's that referring to? Lo tzricha da aricha v'katina. It means it's a rectangle. It's not a square. Mao detema litin la pusya aurka. So you might have said, the rule is squares, not rectangles. And therefore, if there's a rectangle, you got to make it into a square. And you add kamash mola. No, you don't have to do that. All you need are right angles. Right? You don't need a square. Merubaas in osan lazavios pshita. So what is that adding? If it's already square, you don't add corners. So lo tzricha de mirba'a velo mirba'a beribua olam. What if it's square, but it's what we would call a diamond? Meaning it's not facing exactly north, south, east, west. So do you square that to make it exactly like the ruchos ha'olam? So ma'o de tema lirba'a beribua olam. You might think you draw a square in outside the diamond. Kamash malan. No. What's the hava mean and what's the maskana? Why would you have thought? And all these things, it has to be a square? Okay, it's all what the Rabbanan enacted. Haya bayis echa yotzei kamin pagum. O shnei batem yotzen kamin shnei pagumin. If one or two houses are sticking out, you draw around them. So says the Gemara, hashta bayis echa damar, shnei batem ibai. If there's one house, we have to worry about that one house. So of course two houses. That's more residence. So what's the chiddush of two? So lo tzricha mishnei ruchos. No, it's even if it's on two different sides of the town. So you might say, oh, you include an extra house on one side, but two sides? Ma'u detema me ruach achas amrinon. Mishtei ruchas lo amrinon. Kamash malon. We don't say that. Good. We say it even on two sides. Haisa suya kimin keshes o kimin gam. Ro nosa kilu himalaya batam v'chatzeros umo demeral ala apayim ama. Right, that was the statement. If it's a semicircle or an L, so then we enclose it. We square it off. Amma Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, explaining Ir ha'asuya kekeshes im yesh bein shnei rasheha pachos me'abas alafim abba modin lamina yeter. Rav Huna has a limit. When we say, picture the city shaped as a bow, not really a semicircle because the inside is empty. So it's shaped like a bow, though the two ends of the bow have to be within 4,000 amos of each other. That's when you're allowed to draw an imaginary line and measure the 2,000 amos from that line. The imlam, but if it's more than 4,000 amos, it's so wide meaning it's more than the tchum, modin lamin akashas. Then you forget it and you just measure from the inside of the bow, meaning you have to go all the way into the bow where you get to within 4,000 amos, and then you can measure from there. But the outside of the bow you cannot. Says the Gemara, really? Umi amar Rav Huna achi. The Rav Huna say that the minimum shear is 4,000 amos. V'yamar Rav Huna. But didn't Rav Huna say, chomas ha'ir shenifritza? What if you have a city, a regular city, that somehow got cut? The middle of a city got cut. Meaning, let's say a wall around the city fell down, a piece of the wall, and all the houses that are right next to that part of the wall also got emptied. Some type of, accident. So then you have a line cutting through, an empty line cutting between the cities. So are you allowed to see the two halves of the city together? So, as long as, shenipritz of a mev arbam achas v'shlish, as long as the two halves are within 141 and a third amos, then you can view the two halves as one city. So how could Rav Huna say that you have 4,000 amos on the two sides of the bow, when in the two halves of the city, he only allows 141 amos? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Ula, lo kasha. There's a big difference. Kan bruch achas, kan mishtei ruchos. In the bow case, the city is connected, right, in the circular part of the bow. In the city, there's a line going straight through. It's totally cut in half. So therefore, they're going to have to be closer in order to be considered one. Umaykam ashmalan. So now, what is the chiddush of the second part of second Rav Huna, that he has to be 141 and a third? What's the chiddush there? That you give 70 and two-thirds amos to each city? To each half of the city? Is that what he's teaching me? We're going to have later on this sugya. We already discussed a little bit karpef in the earlier parakim, in the second parak. We're going to talk about it a little bit now again. Do you say that the chiddush is that you, for every city, you start measuring the 2,000 amos of the tchum from 70 and two-thirds amos outside of the city? That's where the tchum ends. Every city, you have this extra field. Is that what you're saying? That you give a karpef to each city? Amra ha'amra Rav Huna chadazimna. But we already know that elsewhere. Rav Huna already made that statement. It's not, as the Mishnah says later on, Dafnun Zayin and Tublat, Nosin karpef la'ir. Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says you give a field to each city. V'chacham lo'amim lo'amru karpef elabin shtei ayaros. V'chacham argue. We'll talk about this, by the Hashem. Chacham say no. You don't give a karpef automatically to every city. It's just that if you have two cities in proximity of each other, and you want to know whether you can view them as one city, if they're within 141 and two-thirds and amos of each other, then you can view them as one city. You don't automatically give a karpef to cities. It's just if you have two cities. That's the chachamim. V'itzmar. But what do the chachamim mean? Rav Huna amar karpef lezu v'karpef lezu. V'chiyah barab amar enosin ela karpef echel l'shneim. So it's a machlokas, whether you have one or two karpefs within the cities. But you see, Rav Huna says already that you give a karpef to each one. So why does Rav Huna have to say where the city is cut in half, the shear is 141. He already says it about this Mishnah. So Gemara says, Tricha, no, you still need it. If you only had it by the ark, the city that's cut in half, Mishum Dhavalit Sad Heter Meikara. You might have thought there you have the leniency of the two karpaves because it was a city to start with. So of course you could add this and view it as one big happy city. Aval hasam, aim low. But you might think over there in the two cities which were never connected to each other, maybe you wouldn't be able to use this leniency. And that's why you have to say it over there. The Ishbin Hasam, and if you only had it on that city, Mishum, on the two cities, Mishum, the Dechika Tashmishtayu. You might think there you give two karpefs because it's two cities, and to have one field in between, it would be very tzafuf. Wouldn't be enough room for the people in the cities. So that's where you give a double karpef. Aval hacha delo dechika tashmishtayu, but here, in our city, where it's just a line within a city. So you might think, aim alo, maybe you don't give a double. Tzricha. That's why Rav Huna has to say it by both. Fine. Next. V'kama havi ben yeser l'keshes. Is there a maximum space between the imaginary line at the outside of the bow and the midpoint on the circular part of the bow? Meaning going in, is there a maximum? So, Rabba Rav Huna Amar Alpayim Amma. Rabba Breit, meaning it's gotta be 2,000 Amos going straight in. Rabba Breit, the Rabba Rav Huna Amar, his son. Afili yeser me'afam Amma. No, even more. Amar Abaya, Kavasi de Rabba Breid Rabba Bar Huna Mistavra. The second opinion makes more sense to me. De Iba'i Hader Asi Derech Batim. Because, look, in any case, he could just go to the side of the bow and walk all the way to the inside of the city that way, through the residence. So it shouldn't be limited. So therefore, he likes the second opinion that it's even more. Good. Next part of the Mishnah. Hayusham gedudios gemoz azar tzvachim. Even if you have ruins outside the city, you're allowed to count that as part of the city, and you start counting the tchum from outside the ruins. So, my gedudios, what is the minimum size of ruins, and what are ruins? Amar Rav Yehuda, shalosh mechitzos, she'en aleihem tikra. Three walls without a roof. If you have a structure of three walls without a roof, that's good enough to be called gedudios. Iboilu, shtei mechitzos, ve'yesh aleihem tikra ma'u. What if you have two walls with a roof? What about that case? So, Tashma. Mao, Tashma. Elo Shemesavrani Ma, says the Tosefta, the following structures are included in the city. Nefesh Yeshba Arba Amos, if you have a cemetery, which of Sheshba Arba Amos, Arba Amos, which has a structure, which is 4x4, Vahagesher Vahakever, Sheshba and Beis Dira, as we said before, you have a bridge, or a kever that has a structure where somebody can live in a beis dira next to it, ubeis haknesses sheish ba beis dira, or a shul that has a beis dira, right? A shul is not usually a dira. So if you have a shul that has a beis dira, lachazin, for the gabai to sleep in, you're not allowed to sleep in a shul ubeis, but it's kochavim, or a house of idol worship, sheish ba beis dira la komrim, where the komrim, where the over the avodah zara live. The common denominator is it has to be a residential dira. Vaha aruyos, vaha otsaros shebasados, or if you have stables or silos, the yeshban based dira. Vaha burgen in shebasocha, or little huts that the guards stay in. Vaha bayish shebayam, or a little house on an island, as we'll see. Hareelim asabrinim ba. These are all included, says the Tosefta. The elush in asabrinim ba. The following are not. And then we're going to be medayik. Nefesh and nifritza mishnei ruchoseha elech ve'elech. If you have a nefesh, a beis akvaris, that it went straight through. It was open. Elech ve'elech. Right, that sounds like it has a roof with two walls. That's going to be the answer to our question. Vageshir vakever she'in lahen beis dira. If it doesn't have a beis dira. Ubeis haknesses she'in lahen beis dira lachazin. It doesn't have a place for the chazin to live. Ubeis avodas kochavim she'in la beis dira lakomrim. It doesn't have a place. Vaha oras vahotara shebasada she'in lahen beis dira. All these cases, if there's no place for a person to sleep, they're not included. Ubor v'siach u'ma'ara, or a cave, or a pit, v'geder, or a fence, v'shovach shebesocha, and a shovach, a chicken coop in it. In all these cases, which are not built to live in, v'habayish shebesfina, or a house on a boat, ein elumis abrin. All of these, you do not measure the tchum outside of them, they're not called residential. So k'tani mi'as, but what's the important one from us from here? Nefresh shenifritza mishnei ruchoseha elech fa'elech. If you have a structure that was broken all the way through, sounds like that you have two walls, ma'ala dika tikra. Don't you have a roof? So this answers our question. Two walls and a roof are not enough, right, for the case of the ruins. The Gemara says, lo, deleka tikra. No, the case is there's no roof there, period. So the just related to Beis HaKnesses, doesn't really have much to do with the daf, but in the Chashuk Echemet here, talking about Beis HaKnesses, it comes up a lot. He says, what happens, right, if there's a guy who davens in one shul the entire week, and he davens in another shul on Shabbos? What is his primary shul? Which is his primary shul? If the two gabbais of the shuls come and say, can you please give us some, right? So what's his, do you go by Rov? Well, Rov is the weekdays. Or do you say, no, Shabbos defines a person. Shabbos is Koveah, that's his Iker, that's where he is for many hours at once. So he goes through, back and forth. He says, the Ramban might agree that Tefillah might be the Ramban the whole week, according to the Ramban. But on Shabbos, it's Daraisa, Shabbos, and Yontif. It's a fascinating discussion. He ends up saying, he's trying to give to both. All right, that's his maskani. Doesn't want to cause any problems. But that's in terms of Beis HaKnesses. Bayesh Shebayam L'may Chazu. What is a house at sea roi for? What do you mean you count from outside that? Amar Papa, Bayis Sha'asui L'fanos Bokelim Shebasvina. If you have a house on an island, that a boat that wants to drop off certain kelim, they can do that before they come to port. Period. Uma'ara Einem Mesaberes, Ein Mesaberes Ima. What's wrong with a cave? V'yatani Rebbi Chiya, Ma'ara Mesaberes Ima. Rebbi Chiya quotes a brisa that a cave is included. You measure the tchum from outside. So Amar Abaya Kishish Binyin Alpia. That's only if you have a little like a structure outside the cave. That's when the cave is good enough. So V'tevik Lemisha Binyin Gufe. So what do you need the cave for then? You have a structure. Just the structure itself is reason enough. Lo tzricha lahashlim. No, it means that neither is large enough. So the house and the cave together can make up the shear of Dalet Amos for a significant structure. Okay, a little bit more. Amar Rav Huna, Yoshvei Tzrifin. If you have a, sometimes we have what's called like a trailer park, Right? That's what this would be compared to. Yeah, people in huts. That it's not a hush of city. It's sitting in huts. Ein modern land el mi pesach batehan. They're not called a city. Everybody measures 2,000 amos from their house. From their house, because all of these are not connected. They're all independent. Masiv, Rav Chisda, really? What did Bnei Yisrael do in the Midbar? Vayachanu al yardi mi beis ha-yishimos. V'yomar rabba barbarachana. L'didi chazi ali ha-yasra. I saw that place that Bnei Yisrael were encamped. V'yavi tlasa parsi. Al tlasa parsi. It was a very large area. Vitanya, and we learned in a brisa, k'shei nifnin, when somebody had to go to the bathroom in the Midbar, a nifnin, lo lefnam lo letzideim elo lacharayim. They walked all the way to the back of the camp. So if somebody's in the front of the camp, they walked all the way to the back of the camp. If you're telling me that inferior types of structures don't create a city, and it's 2,000 amos, so in the Midbar they had, what were they in? They were in sukkahs. They were in huts. So how would somebody go all the way back to the bathroom that's outside the tchum? So Gemara answers, no. Amalei Rava, digle Midbar ka'amrit. You're asking me about the Midbar. Kivan dechsiv behu al pi Hashem yachanu, ve'al pi Hashem yisa'u, keman dekfiya luhudami. Kodesh Baruch Hu told you to do this. If Hashem tells you to do this, that it has kfius status, right? This comes up in other areas of halacha. Masechta Shabbos, it says, according to one opinion, you have to do soser almanas livnos bimkomo on Shabbos. They didn't do it bimkomo in the Midbar. No, Hashem told them to move. If Hashem told them to move, that already has significance. Here too, it already has significance. Period. One more line. Amar Avchinana bar Rav Kahana, Amar Avashi, im yesham shalosh chatzeiro shol shnei batim hukfu. Right, if there is an area of a place that has 3 yards with 2 houses in each yard, kavua, that's already considered a city. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, we will continue again. No shir tomorrow, but Hashem, we'll continue on. There is shir, but it'll be from last time, and we'll continue by Hashem next week.